Hello and welcome to a Friday episode of It's Not You, It's Them, But It Might Be You. With me, La La La, Let Me Explain. And not just me today, because I am with the fabulous Stephanie Yeboah, who is a blogger, multi-award-winning content creator, author, host, freelance writer, public speaker, and body image self-love advocate. Based in her hometown of London, she is the first British black plus size woman to grace the cover of Glamour magazine, and she's going to be releasing her next book, Chaotic Energy, in 2025. Not available for pre-order yet, but look out for that one. And also, I have been going to sleep with Stephanie in my ears with her new podcast, Stephanie's... I've asked you about three times, is it called Stephanie Stories? And I can't keep it in my head, I think because I'm so calm and relaxed now. Aww. Because I've been listening. So Stephanie's been doing these incredible podcasts, which are designed to just chill you out and get you to sleep using stories of like Greek mythology. Tell us a bit about that, because it feels left field a little bit, but I love it.
Oh, thank you. First of all, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. Pleasure. I'm so excited. And with the podcast, so that's Storytime with Stephanie, and it just comes from a love of storytelling and telling stories to kids. And I also love falling asleep to sleep stories because I have insomnia, and so that's really the only thing that can like really knock me out. So I was like, let me try doing this. And also people just saying that I have a nice voice. So I was like, okay, let me utilize it and start a podcast.
You really do. You have a fantastic voice, perfect for podcasts. I really, honestly, really, really highly recommend Stephanie's new podcast. Everything that you do is kind of great. Like I've never Aww. Seen you do, I've listened to you on loads of other people's podcasts, and I've read your book, and you just, everything you touch seems to sort of just turn to gold. And it's a lovely quality of yours. I feel like this is like one of the least interesting things about you, but because it's a dating podcast, some people may not have heard, you kind of went very viral. Mm-hmm. For what ended up kind of being called the pull a pig kind of scandal, yeah. I guess. Can you tell listeners a bit about what happened there?
Yeah, sure. Oh gosh, that was, it just feels so long ago now, but gosh, basically, this was when I was traipsing the apps, you know, as you do. And I met this guy on a dating app. And we went on a first date. And before we went on the first date, we were like talking online and on the phone and stuff. And so he knew that I was a blogger. He knew that I had a love of like houseplants and stuff. Like, so we'd been speaking quite a bit. And then we met up on the first date. The first date went really well. Like, he even bought me like a little aloe vera plant. I was like, oh, that's really thoughtful. Like, you know, there wasn't any red flags that I could see at the time, just a very charming guy. So then we said that we would meet up again for a second date. And then on the second date, we slept together. And then I just didn't hear from him again. And at the time, I was like, I mean, he's a nice guy, but I guess like this is how the dating sphere goes sometimes.
Yeah, it's gutting.
It is a bit gutter. I think because my history of dating has been so terrible and traumatic, I felt like him not contacting me back was like the least terrible thing that I had experienced, which is still shit. Mm. But I was like, okay, well, it is what it is. Like, if I don't hear from him again, fair enough. So after about a month, I think it was a month, I kind of just like got on with my life and all of that kind of stuff. And then I remember this because it was before I went to sleep. I received an email from somebody that said that he was his friend. And basically in the email, they were like, look, the reason that I'm contacting you is because I know that you've been messaging X and not hearing anything back. And the reason that you haven't heard from him is because we basically, like as his like group of friends, we bet or we placed a bet for him to sleep with a fat girl. And the bet was £300. And so, yeah, he slept with you, and that's why you haven't heard from him. And the reason that I'm contacting you is because it's basically, he said that he felt a lot of guilt around it after a while, and his friend, the guy that I went on a date with, had told this friend that I was like an influencer and stuff. So I think that's how he got my email. And he went on this whole tangent about his sister recently experiencing a really bad dating anecdote. And so that kind of compelled him to write to me. And I read it and I was just like, is this spam? Is this like, this must be like a joke kind of thing. But the feelings of low self-worth, like dehumanization, low self-esteem just kind of fell over me. It was awful. And so like a day or two later, because on the night of the date, I took a selfie saying, oh, this is me going on a date, like a smiling selfie. So then I went onto Twitter and I retweeted it, like quote tweeted it, and was like, update, this is what happened. Like, you know, when I went on this date last month or whatever, this is what happened. And so that's how it kind of steamrolled and started going viral.
It's fucking sickening. I want to punch him in his fucking face. I don't I don't support violence, but did you report him on the dating apps? Did they ever? Because
so he, when I went back onto the dating app, he had like not blocked me. I don't know what it is when he didn't appear in my
right. So he's unmatched you or whatever.
Yeah.
Does that mean you can't ever? God, that's a bit of a flaw in dating apps, isn't it? Like if they've unmatched you, you can't then report them because there's nothing to report.
Yeah. And it's funny because I went to an event that was held like separately that was held by the dating app. And I told one of the producers of like user experience or something was there. And I told her, I was like, look, this is what happened to me. So this is when it had gone viral and stuff. And so I was like, this is what happened. This is the guy's name. Here's his number. I don't know if you can find it on your system or whatever. Like they sent me flowers, like the app sent me flowers and stuff. But I didn't really hear anything back. I did match with him like a year and a half later though. Not match, I saw him on the app. And a part of me was like, should I match with him again and give him a piece of my mind? But after that, so much time had gone past that I was like, I can't be bothered to dip back into that.
What a despicable, disgusting man. I hope he gets incurable thrush in his bum hole. And the good thing is that actually that led to you meeting Lizzo in the end. So like every cloud has a silver lining in some way or another, you know? And his life will not work out well unless he has some kind of healing moment, goes and does some ayahuasca in the jungle. And
I doubt it.
Well, probably not. But yeah. But now you are in a healthy, solid, loving relationship.
Yes.
And you glow. And aww, you are with a man who makes you feel safe, right?
Yes.
I love
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And how did you meet? He was your friend originally, was he?
Yeah. So we've been friends for like 16 years.
Cute. Yeah. Sometimes they're right under your nose.
The whole time.
Yeah.
The whole time. Yeah.
And it's that thing where there's like, we always think there has to be fireworks and a big spark and this big like romance. But actually sometimes it's that person that you just feel really comfortable with and chill with. That, and I love that you're in love and that you're happy. Love,
it's
love,
cute.
Love. Very
it's,
cute.
It's an interesting one because, and like even to this day, I find it very difficult to let people in. And I think because of that puller pig thing and just other really bad dating experiences that I've gone through where for some reason the main focal point of why it hasn't worked out is to do with my weight. I've always had lots of walls up. So being in a relationship where someone kind of accepts me wholeheartedly, it's really hard because I'm always like, well, what's the catch? What's the drop? What's gonna, like, I'm just waiting for something bad to happen, and that shouldn't be the case. So even in this relationship, I'm trying to learn how to just let people in and try to soften my heart and all of that kind of stuff, because I'm just like on edge all the time, just waiting for, you know, you're just waiting for something bad to happen.
Well, it feels like self-defense and protection, doesn't it? Like, well, if I am expecting it to go wrong, then I can't be devastated and shocked when it
that's it
does
that's
you
it.
Know Hi guys, it's me, and I'm here to tell you about another Sony Music Entertainment podcast. Now, I know you all like to have a deeper look and get under the skin of a subject, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to me deconstructing hot topics and getting into the nitty-gritty with all your dating dilemmas. So I think you're going to love Getting Curious with the fabulous Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. Every week, they deep dive into conversations with a variety of experts on some really, really important and eye or ear opening topics like the history of abortion and the science of sleep. Get excited, get curious, and listen to Getting Curious wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's help other people.
Yes.
Because we are obviously very good at wondering whether stuff is a red flag, and so are my listeners, and they want our help today to establish, is this a red flag? So our first one says, Stephanie and Lala, is it a red flag that most of his friends cheat on their girlfriends and he doesn't call them out?
I think it's an amber to red flag. I think that any self-respecting man, if your friend is, you know, doing something very immoral and you don't call it out, it kind of speaks to, is that something you could potentially do in future? If you can't stand up to your friends in that way, it's almost like you're allowing that behavior to continue, like you're co-signing it. If you're not, you know, calling your friend out, then you're low-key co-signing it. So then I have to give you a bit of a side eye. Like, is it lack of courage? Do you secretly champion what they're doing? Or are you scared of your friends? Like, what's going on?
And like, what's the culture in this friendship group? Like, what because I feel like if they're all or mostly cheating on their girlfriends, then that signifies to me probably like a lack of respect for women. Mm-hmm. And so is there some kind of like misogynistic culture within this friendship group? And is he co-signing that, as you say? Like, is he going along with that? What's happening when you're not there? And actually, I would like a partner who has the balls to tell his mates off. And if he can't, then again, that's because the culture of this group is kind of fucking toxic. But I think you're right, amber, maybe not red, because actually there's something good in the fact that he is telling her this, maybe, you know, the fact that he's coming back and being like, oh, they're all cheating.
Oh, that's true, actually.
I don't know,
he's the fact that he's mentioned it feels like there is something lying on his conscience, so it might be more of just a fear of confrontation or confronting his friends, because if all of them are doing it, that's a bit
most. It'd be good to get his views on it. What do you think about this? How do you feel about the girlfriends? How does he feel when he's having to like spend does he ever spend time with the girlfriends? Does that not make him feel guilty? Like, has he got a conscience? All right, the next one says, is it a red flag that he said, I think women expect men to plan everything just because they have a vagina?
I don't know about that one, because I mean, the whole I think women expect vagina thing, that's kind of reeking with misogyny for me. But I've never really known men to plan anything anyway. Like, for me, I'm just I do most of the planning. It's mostly women that plan the stuff. So I don't know what he's talking about.
So true. Especially once you're in a relationship, like you literally have to take on the organization of everything, including like their own mother's birthday shit. But I think maybe he's referring to like first dates or whatever, when you know, I kind of do want a man to say, I'd like to take you here on this day. Are you available? I think you're right with that first instinct of like, that reeks of misogyny, because I feel like I'm hearing him say it like, I think women expect men to plan everything just because they have a vagina.
But then it's like, if you're pursuing me, then pursue me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not to kind of take feminism back 500 years, but like, I'm a bit like, well, you're the one that's saying, oh, you know, you want to date me or you want to do this. And it's just like, okay, so I want to take you out, but you plan everything. And it's just like, yeah, but you're the one that's suggesting that we go out. So we can collaborate. Like, definitely we can trade ideas on what to do, but then to kind of just suggest something and then just leave it to the other person to organize is a bit like, okay, but where's the intention? Where's the planning? Like, these are all things that show that you care about what we do on our first date.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, I think that vagina thing is a bit loaded, a bit like, yeah,
Very loaded. You
think you've got hold all the power because you've got a vagina and that's what I want at the end of this plan, you know, maybe.
Gosh.
Just feels, ugh.
It's a bit icky.
But I don't know about red flag again.
Yeah,
pink flag. All right, this one's from a heterosexual man. And I have to say, this man does actually, almost every time I have a box of any type of question, he asks me a question that just makes me think like, bro, out of this relationship. But anyway, he says, is it a red flag if your partner cries anytime you try to communicate your feelings or issues?
Ooh, again, I think that depends on two factors. One, how is he communicating his thoughts and feelings? Is it aggressive? Is it with anger?
Yeah.
Two, potentially, the partner could be using that as a manipulative tactic to make him feel bad. So it kind of, I don't know, it depends on, I would really want to know how he's delivering and how he's saying these things, because there's a way that you can communicate your feelings without saying it in a way that comes across as toxic. So if he's saying it and she's crying all the time, he maybe needs to look at how he's trying to communicate his feelings.
Yeah, especially if she's had a history of abuse.
Exactly.
Or sort of certain traumas, it might be really, it might make her feel really upset when she feels that a situation is big conflict or confrontation. But as you say, exactly. On the other side, if somebody is, every time you try to communicate your feelings, being manipulative by turning around and being like, oh, this is all about me, I'm crying now.
Yeah.
Then that's problematic too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which one is it? But as I said at the start, this guy literally, I mean, there are so many issues within this relationship, according to this man. Just go.
Yeah, if you're asking that many questions, it's better to just get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. If you're constantly having to ask a podcast for advice or an influencer for advice.
And he already knows what he has to do. I think he's just looking for confirmation. But he, sir, you know what you need to do.
Exactly. But then I wonder if that's part of it. Like, he knows what he needs to do, but almost he can't, because then she becomes extremely vulnerable and emotional every time he does try to set boundaries. So then there's that guilt factor.
That's true.
Complicated. Just get out, block, delete, move on. But obviously talk to her first.
Yeah.
All right. Is it a red flag when people don't reply to your message and then they say, sorry, I thought I'd sent a message, but the message didn't send and I didn't realise?
I think it is a red flag, but also I'm guilty of doing this a lot as well.
But Stephanie, do you do it when you are like really into someone? Like at the beginning of talking to someone, I cannot stop fucking thinking about them. I'm like looking at my phone constantly to see if they've messaged me. There is no way I am accidentally not replying to them, because I'd be checking like 2 hours later, you haven't replied to me. What? Then I would notice that I didn't send. But maybe I'm a bit of a limerent, like obsessive kind of infatuated type of person.
No, I think if it's like you first start dating someone, then absolutely not. But if it's like somebody that I've known for like years and years, or that kind, if it's like we're balls deep into this relationship or friendship, and like that's fine. But if you're kind of doing it sort of off the bat, it could come across as a bit breadcrumby.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
that could potentially be problematic, because it's like what's the vibe that you're trying to give off.
I agree. I think it's so dependent, isn't it? Is this somebody who's like making plans with you regularly, in contact with you regularly, reciprocating your energy, wanting to see you and making that happen? Then I wouldn't say it's a red flag.
Yeah.
It's a red flag if you just, you know, you've been talking to each other and it feels like they're backing away.
Yeah.
And you haven't heard from them for a few days and you're like, hi.
Mm.
And they're like, oh, sorry, message didn't send, I didn't realise. Because why didn't you realise? Why aren't you thinking about me?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think if they're normally quite on it when it comes to communication and planning and stuff, then, you know, the odd, oh, you know, I've been busy or something, fair enough. But if it's a pattern of behaviour where he's just, or he or they are not like replying or, you know, backing out, then it could look a bit like, oh, he's trying to do like a soft exit kind of thing. So depending on the situation, it could be a red flag.
Yeah, a lot of these are very situation dependent. Is it a red flag if he's homophobic, but it's because of his religion, Christian, and culture, Nigerian?
Yes, it is a red flag. Speaking as a Christian and as an African, none of these things have anything to do with someone being homophobic. And I know that, especially with being a Christian, I mean, that's a whole other podcast for another day, because I just think people use Christianity as a way to be homophobic. Because if we really get into it, in the Bible, it doesn't actually say anything about homosexuality, but people have misconstrued it to further certain prejudice agendas. I think in African culture, homophobia is rife. It's always been rife. And again, because it's so intertwined with religion, but it's absolutely a red flag. There shouldn't be any but, like, oh, he's homophobic, but as soon as you hear homophobic, for me, I would just cut it off at the source.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for homophobia at all.
It's like saying, is it a red flag if he's racist, but he's Christian and from Russia? You know,
exactly.
You know what I mean? You cut that. Yes, it's still a red flag. Doesn't matter what the culture has taught you or how he's been raised or anything like that. We are all big enough and old enough now to be able to make our own way in the world and make sense of the world. And I think Jesus would have loved the gays, definitely did love the gays and sex workers and, you know, all of this idea that, like, you know, Christianity hates gay people. It's just like Christianity shouldn't hate anyone. That hate shouldn't even be in this. So it is a red flag if someone is homophobic, racist, sexist, anything that is fundamentally harmful to the human rights of others. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter where you were raised or what your religion is. It is a red flag because how are you going to have children with this person? Because you could very easily have a gay child.
Exactly. And then what happens then?
Yeah. What's he going to do? Hate his own kid and destroy them. And, you know, I think it is something that needs to be sensitively addressed. I don't think that you should attempt to maybe try and change him. But also, I think that actually conversations can be held. I think it's right to acknowledge where it may have come from with respect, but also to not accept it or tolerate it and to see it as a red flag.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow. So we have really put the world to rights. Mm-hmm. Loved all of your answers and hearing them in your sexy voice is just such a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
So I want to know, because usually on a Friday, I read out listeners' icks. And I want to know, over the years, what has given you the ick?
In terms of, like, relationships or, when like, the opposite sex?
Have you ever had that feeling of just totally irrational repulsion for someone who you actually found really attractive and really liked, and then you've just got that ick feeling of, like, oh no, I can't bear to look at you anymore. You've given me the ick.
Boot cut jeans worn with loafers.
Oh.
And for me, it was like, as somebody that loves fashion, I remember there was somebody that I liked, like I fancied. And I remember just seeing him at an event and he had like these boot cut jeans. And I was like, everything just dried up immediately. I was like, nope, I can't. Oh. And I couldn't see him in the same way again. And I know it's just so stupid, but I was just like, I can't.
No, I get you. You should have called an ambulance because something was wrong with him that day for them to get dressed in that manner. Like, boot cuts and loafers, even if you are doing it, like trying to be like uber stylish, like, you know, Shoreditch style.
Yeah.
No.
It was just like, it was like almost like flares. And I'm just like, I don't know. I was so turned off by it that I just, it was like an immediate thing for me.
It's unacceptable. I totally agree. And like, you know, we shouldn't really judge people for what they're wearing or how they look, but I get it. And the ick, you can't help it. Your eyes are drawn to this ick thing and there's nothing you can do about it. You can try and rationalize and be like, oh, it's only boot cuts, but who in their right mind wants to wear boot cuts and loafers?
In the 2020s?
No.
Like, I just don't get it. Also, men that have the long pinky nail, I find quite grotesque. And
there's
again,
a reason for that though, isn't there?
There is. Yeah. And it just freaks me out. But even when it's not that main reason, if they've got like long nails, it just gives me like Interview with the Vampire stars. I'm just like,
yeah, and because you also think about your vagina, like your future vagina is going to not have a good time with those hands.
Yeah, it's just like you're going to fuck around and give me a hysterectomy accidentally. Like, I don't need that. Yeah, long nails and long toenails on a man, it's just like, it's giving me vampire vibes.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Okay, I accept your ex. I support them. Thank you so much for coming today. I have really loved you. Love having you here. And make sure all of you look out. What's your page? How do they find you on Instagram?
Oh, so my Instagram is just my full name. So it's at Stephanie Yeboah.
Which is spelled S-T, it's a normal Stephanie
just
with a P-H. Normal Stephanie, and then
Y-E-B-O-A-H. Yeah.
And look out for Stephanie's book, which you will be able to pre-order sometime before next year.
Yeah.
It's coming out.
Definitely this year.
February 2025,
yes.
And that's called Chaotic Energy. And I'm definitely going to get the Audible version of that as well as the book.
Thank you.
So I can listen to your beautiful dulcet tones.
Oh, thank you so much.
Lots of love. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. Bye.
La la la, let me explain. This has been a Sony Music Entertainment production.